like open doors. Me.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Wild ride it is. Just gets wilder and stranger all the time. This morning is no exception. Couple of updates, and then I want to talk about this morning's Senate FBI oversight hearing, which is, just bizarre. It's, I don't know what else to say about it, but I don't know about you, but when I listen to these hearings, it's always frustrating. It's always a frustrating experience. There's always glad handing. There's always there's never any real accountability. There's never any real oversight. There is only the appearance or the illusion of said, and that is deeply disturbing. To give you a brief recap before we get into that more. By the way, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And feel free, as always, to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. The C-SPAN feed live feed of the hearings is what I was listening to. I was try to listen on credible sources. I don't think that there's a more credible source than C-SPAN, hopefully nonpartisan, even though nothing really is nonpartisan these days, is it? But you have the ability to watch it live or watch it from the beginning. And, of course, there is text transcript that's included, compiled from uncorrected closed captioning, as it were. But still, it's better than nothing, I suppose. And so you can kind of skip around. And so some of the, I suppose, salient points, if there are any, it's just shocking, you know. I feel like I'm at a loss for words. It's, you know, you feel like you're in a hermetically sealed glass case, wanting to shout certain things at people. And Andrew Jackson's farewell address, among others, comes to mind. Specifically, Jackson's point about eternal vigilance. You must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. It behooves you, therefore, to be watchful in your states as well as the federal government. And he goes on to be very specific and clarify. And we have the very brand of malfeasance against which he warned. But, you know, it's all academic at this point, isn't it? So this morning's hearings, FBI oversight before the Senate Judiciary Committee, just some high points real quick. Before I do that, I guest hosted the National Intel Report yesterday. I mentioned Allison Weir with regard to the specious, and I feel like that word is, I definitely overuse that word, but I feel like the two words that really categorize the this rogue political regime that masquerades as the American government, or even the United States government for that matter, and I do not conflate those two. The two words to best kind of generally describe this mess, this nonsense that we find ourselves enmeshed in, is the two words are, I suppose, specious and ostensible. I feel like I use those words constantly, but they seem fitting. So anyway, speaking of specious, yesterday during the National Intel Report, when I guest hosted, I mentioned Allison Weir with regard to the specious Israel narrative. This modern geopolitical contrivance that is not the biblical Israel. It just isn't. From any aspect you want to address that, if you go back and research and you're honest in your assessment of the biblical text, looking at this thing called Israel and who is behind its fabrication, this thing that masquerades as the biblical Israel. See, that's the thing. People conflate it, and there's no one said anywhere that the two are the same, but they are, you know, we are generally encouraged implicitly to conflate the biblical Israel with this modern geopolitical contrivance. They're not the same thing. So with regard to that discussion, I mentioned Allison Weir, as I have before on this broadcast, and the journalist that Allison Weir mentions in one of her talks. What is that that I'm hearing? What is that? Huh, weird. Oh. Okay, sorry. Yeah. So, Alison Weir, I mentioned her with regard to the specious Israel narrative, what is referred to as Israel that is not the biblical Israel, of course. And one of her great talks was recorded back in July of 2014, and you can find it on YouTube, titled Alison Weir, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. And during that talk, she talks about Dorothy Thompson and how Dorothy Thompson was what Encyclopedia Britannica says was one of the most famous journalists of the 20th century. It's interesting, you know, in the age of the specious women's rights discussion, people will say, what do you mean specious? Well, it's not that the discussion is specious per se, or that the topic is specious. It's the specious nature of the discussion, designed and intended to both balkanize people. It's a bigger thy neighbor approach to an issue. We're going to seek special benefits for a minority. This minority, meaning white men in this case, or men in general, has this minority of the group has some special benefit. They get paid more, they get special privileges, is kind of the general argument. And so, you know, this other group needs special privileges too. And people will say, well, no, just equal privileges, and okay, fine, whatever. But what we're doing is we're kind of fracturing the whole, separating it into groups. And if you're not familiar, the operative word here is balkanization, and go look that up on Wikipedia and see the graphic of the Ottoman Empire and the Austro-Hungarian Empire being splintered into smaller and smaller fragments for a very specific purpose, to conquer the world. And that method is being used to do the same thing, pitting neighbor against neighbor, father against son, mother against daughter, people against people everywhere. You know, man against woman, black against white, rich against poor. You know, young against old, any line that can be delineated to make any distinction between people is being used in specious fashion. Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, etc., etc. Any line that can be drawn to divide people is being drawn, and the effort is being made, or the campaign, the propaganda campaign, is being waged to divide people amongst each other. And there's all kinds of rhetoric, and it's unfortunate that everywhere you look, there is this kind of incendiary Marxist undertone to just about everything you hear, whether it's intentional or unintentional. It's no different. You know, it's kind of like the point, you know, someone shoots somebody and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shoot you. It doesn't matter. The person is still shot. Doesn't matter if you meant to or not, per se, they're still shot. So in this case, the incendiary undertone, these Marxist undertones that are growing to overtones in many cases. I've mentioned the emails that the Women's March folks have circulated, and referring to beyondthemoment.org, and the graphics that they have over there, and you think about that, you look at some of this stuff, the email that the Women's March sent out in anticipation of May Day on the 28th of April, as I mentioned the other day, there's nothing in it but specious rhetoric and nothing of substance. And again, those Marxist undertones, Workers of the World Unite, and of course that's what May Day is all about with regard to you know, celebrating the international workers' movement, blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. People need to go back and research the history of Marx infiltrating the Workers' Party and basically turning them against themselves. Like Mike Huckabee says, you know, or said 10 years ago, and this is not to, you know, shine a light on him. It's merely to say that, yes, old school bad guys know exactly what they're doing and what's happening. When he said, as I always remind folks, that to create havoc in the world, this is precisely what you do. I mean, who is leading the Women's March group? Yet you look at these emails that they send out and these, you know, or the beyondthemovement.org nonsense, same thing. You go out there, you have all these graphics. People could share several May Day graphics, Facebook banners, social icons, posters, avatars, all kinds of stuff. We are the majority. And you look at this stuff, it doesn't say anything. What does it mean? Defy, defend, demand. What does that even mean? Do the people posting these things even know what they mean? And you look at some of the talking points, it just doesn't make any sense. For instance, the We Are the Majority poster is an example. Love is love. What does that mean? Black lives matter. Sure. Yes, lives matter. Yes, they do. Climate change is real. Yes, it is. But what is the source of it? Is it your breathing? Or is it geoengineering? Multinational corporations that get away with destroying the earth while telling you it's your fault because you breathe. Sure, climate change is real. I mean, we can start there and talk about that, but what is the cause of it? And then let's talk about why there is a talking point called climate change. Let's go back to the Club of Rome and the First Global Revolution, the book that talks about how it's you that is the problem. The enemy is man, Club of Rome wrote. Subsequently, Maurice Strong and Baron de Rothschild create this movement to vilify you because you breathe. Immigrants make America great is another one of their sound bites. I mean, these talking points that just, they're utterly meaningless. Just a way to get people stirred up in Marxist Alinskyite fashion. And so, you know, you look at the Beyond the Movement nonsense, you know, organizer action tool, because you can find this stuff at beyondthemovement.org/resources. Go there and check it out for yourself, which the Women's March folks point to. But who is the leadership of this? You have these action plans, mobilization action planner in English. Well, who's writing this stuff? Does anyone care? Conference calls, political education literature, global apartheid workshop. What in the world is that? Where is all of this coming from? Does anyone care? And then, of course, it's a short trip from this kind of stuff. And then, you know, racial capitalism. What in the world is that? And they point to Dr. Martin Luther King and, you know, his words, for example, you know, pointing to his Beyond Vietnam speech back in 1967 when he mentioned the giant triplets of racism, capitalism, and militarism. But that gets hijacked, and just like, as is always the case, Luther was not a Lutheran, Calvin was not a Calvinist, Dr. Martin Luther King, same thing. His words are being manipulated to really divide people. And again, the same incendiary undertones are at work there. So that's interesting stuff. Anyway, back to the point. I mentioned Allison Weir yesterday. The journalist was Dorothy Thompson. And the point was that anyone who speaks out against the establishment Israel narrative, which is completely specious, is vilified, castigated, and ultimately probably unpersoned, like Dorothy Thompson, you know, unpersoned, just scrubbed from history in Orwellian fashion. So Dorothy Thompson, according to Wikipedia, was an American journalist, radio broadcaster who in 1939 was recognized by Time Magazine, as the second most influential woman in America next to Eleanor Roosevelt. She is notable as the first American journalist to be expelled from Nazi Germany in 1934, and as one of the few women news commentators on radio during the 1930s. She is regarded by some as the first lady of American journalism. Well, ladies, do you know about Dorothy Selene Thompson? But history has all but forgotten Dorothy Thompson. Why? Well, because she challenged the establishment political Zionist narrative. That's why. We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile.
Welcome back. All right, let's welcome back. Let's move on from the recap from yesterday and get into today's business a little bit. So speaking of Dorothy Thompson, as I said, she, as Allison Weirs pointed out in her talks, Dorothy Thompson was one of the examples of a prominent figure who was a darling of the public eye and the media until her views changed with regard to political Zionism specifically. And then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, what happened? Well, under the section titled Fame and Controversy, on the Dorothy Thompson Wikipedia entry, you will find these words. Thompson was a keynote speaker at the Biltmore Conference, and by war's end, World War II, was regarded as one of the most effective spokespersons for Zionism. Of course, she was the darling at that point, wasn't she? She switched her views round radically after a trip to Palestine in 1945. So basically what happened was she realized, as Alison Weir has and as others have that have actually gone and seen for themselves or listened to those who have, she discovered that we are being lied to, we're being misled on this issue entirely. So she switched her views around radically after a trip to Palestine in 1945 and ran into difficulties. Imagine that. Including accusations of anti-Semitism. And as I mentioned yesterday during the National Intel Report, and as I mentioned before, that is a specious term as well. To, first of all, the generally accepted figures put the vast majority, well over three-quarters of what are called Jews around the world, as predominantly either Ashkenazi Jews or Sephardic Jews. And both of those are specious terms. If you go to Genesis 11, you'll see the history. First of all, the etymology of the word Semitism derives from the name Shem. In other words, if you're an anti-Semite, you don't like Shem and his descendants. You're an anti-Shemite. You don't like the Shemites or the descendants of Shem. Noah survived the flood. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis 10, you'll see that Japheth had a grandson named Ashkenaz. Japheth had a grandson named Ashkenaz. So if you call yourself an Ashkenazi anything, you are not a Shemite. You're a Japhethite. Does that make sense? So the descendants of Japheth through Ashkenaz are not Semites. They are Japhethites. So you might be an anti-Japhethite, but you're not an anti-Semite if you don't like the Ashkenazi people. And as far as the Sephardim are concerned, Sepharad is a region mentioned in the book of Obadiah, and it's near Spain. And you know, then you get off into the intrigue and deception over the centuries. Jack Otto's talk is a great one. That last talk that he gave, the late, great Jack Otto, I think it's titled The Forbidden Knowledge. You can still find that on YouTube for more on that. So the vast majority of what the world calls Jews, which I would dispute, are either Ashkenazi Jews or Sephardic Jews. And those are, it's an oxymoron, essentially. Because Jew is understood to come through the lineage, if we're going to talk racially, as some people want to say, if we want to use that term, and again, I would even argue that's a specious term, but in terms of historical lineage, you have Shem and Heber, the Hebrews. You have Judah, Jesus, the line of the tribe of Judah. You know, you have a lineage. And so historically, those were the folks that we would be referring to when we're talking about Hebrews or Jews. They come through a specific bloodline, essentially. And the Bible talks about not getting into these kinds of controversies of lineage. I don't want to do that. The only point here is to sweep away the obfuscation that creates confusion on this issue. So the accusation of anti-Semitism is largely specious. We're talking about the wrong people. And then, of course, we get into Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And who are those folks, and why doesn't anyone ever preach on that? Because then you open a can of worms that, holy cow, you go down a rabbit hole. Who knows if you ever come back out. Back to Dorothy Thompson. So she switched her views. She was an effective spokesperson for Zionism. Then suddenly she visits Palestine in 1945 and does a 180. And then she runs into difficulties, including accusations of anti-Semitism, which she strongly rebuffed, probably in the fashion that I'm saying. And, you know, of course, the media won't. When you're speaking the truth, one of the first things they do is silence your voice and then speak for you. But, of course, they don't tell the truth. They don't represent you accurately because, you know, then people would know the truth. And we certainly wouldn't want that now, would we? So she endured accusations of anti-Semitism, which she strongly rebuffed. After being warned that hostility toward Israel, which Israel though? The biblical Israel or this modern geopolitical contrivance? After being warned that hostility toward Israel was, in the American press world, quote unquote, almost a definition of professional suicide. Now why would that be? Again, think about that. She eventually concluded that Zionism, now listen to this, and again, this is a woman who recognized just a few years before by Time magazine as the second most influential woman in America, next to Eleanor Roosevelt. Fantastic journalist, legendary, first lady of American journalism, regarded by some. Suddenly, within a very short time, she is considered to be committing professional suicide, but she eventually concluded that Zionism was a recipe for perpetual war. Imagine that. And what do we see? Yet, have we heard of her? Why not? Well, for obvious reasons, right? So it was Dorothy Thompson, and I think history should remember her and her lesson. I mean, think about how courageous it would be. It's almost like a Damascus Road experience, in my opinion, to be a keynote speaker for Zionism, one of the most effective, regarded as one of the most effective spokespersons for Zionism. And then you go and you see for yourself to eat those words and to retreat from that position and to do a complete 180, especially for someone of that kind of prominence, and especially knowing that it's essentially professional suicide. That is incredibly courageous. You want to talk about courageous women? Holy cow! Or courageous people? That to me is some unsung bravery. To be able to do that and to live by the courage of your convictions, to admit, you know what, I was mistaken on that, I was misguided, and here is, just think about how difficult that would be, especially in light of the overwhelming opposition. And then, you know, speaking of that, If you watch Alison Weir's talk on YouTube or wherever you can find it titled The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel, just continue and listen to her talk about how the historical narrative is all but entirely hijacked. The way that we should actually play that clip, you know, of Alison Weir talking about Dorothy Thompson. Maybe we can do that. What do you think? We have the possibility of doing that. I think Alison Weir, because she tells the story best. Okay, and it's cued to the timestamp. So, yeah, here's Alison Weir talking about Dorothy Thompson. Go ahead, please.
The part that, according to the UN plan, was going to be Palestinian territory. Now, some people, again, were trying to tell Americans what was going on. One of the most important was a woman named Dorothy Thompson. She was what Britannica Encyclopedia says was one of the most famous journalists of the 20th century. In fact, I believe at one place they say that she is the most important female journalist of the 20th century. It's true, although I had never heard of her. She had a newspaper column that was printed all over the United States, a radio program that was listened to by millions of Americans. She was such a celebrity that there was a Broadway play in which she was played by Lauren Bacall, and there was a Hollywood movie loosely based on her life in which she was played by Katharine Hepburn. She was considered the most powerful woman in the United States after Eleanor Roosevelt. She was an excellent journalist. She had been a foreign correspondent in Germany during the 30s and had been one of the first journalists to raise the alarm about Hitler. She was the first foreign journalist to be expelled by Hitler. She was therefore very sympathetic to Zionism. But after the war, when Israel began to be created, she went over to see this wonderful state of Israel, the new Jewish state. And when she got there, she saw hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees living in squalor, dying in large numbers every day. And she began to write of them, to tell about them, to speak about them. She even eventually made a documentary about them. And for telling about these people, for writing about these people, she lost her newspaper column. She lost her radio program. She lost her fame. And she was erased from history. On sort of a similar final note, if I now tried to write an article, maybe about Dorothy Thompson, fascinating person, or maybe about the Parashim, or maybe about Reginald Gilbert, there's much more I could tell you about, very interesting about him. If I tried to do that for a popular American history magazine, which I would like to do, I quite likely would not get it published. And that's, this is not paranoid speculation. A few years ago, we tried to put a paid newspaper ad in American History Magazine, not about Palestine. We tried to put a paid ad in about a book, a memoir by a 91-year-old American congressman. It tells about his childhood in Depression-era America, in Corn Belt America, about being a small-town newspaper editor, about serving in the Seabees during World War II, about going to Congress, about all his various fights in Congress, and about also, near the end of the book, it tells about the fact that when he started to speak about Palestine, he was targeted by the Israel lobby, money was funded to his opponent, and after 22 years in Congress, he lost the election, Paul Findlay. But our advertisement didn't even tell about that last part of his very long life. It just told about his book, the usual blurbs about what a wonderful book this is. But Eric Weider, the publisher and owner of American History Magazine, informed us that they would not publish our advertisement in American History Magazine because we were anti-Israel, and that they would not publish our advertisement in any of the popular history magazines that they own in the United States, which is virtually every one. This is, according to their website, the largest history chain in the world, and it's certainly the largest one in the United States. So what do we do about this?
There you go. That's Allison Weir on Dorothy Thompson and much more, obviously. And she's absolutely right. So this gets back to the Orwellian supposition or conjecture. Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. Wouldn't it be nice if we just be honest? One of the best validations or substantiations of the Bible is that it includes the bad stories as well. For example, Psalm 51 is David's admission of guilt, so to speak. That's imagine how difficult that would be. And that's just one of many, many examples. But the bad stories are in there as well. Wouldn't it be nice if we could tell the whole truth, which is just the truth? I mean, the whole truth is the truth. There is no such thing as, you know, not the whole truth. So wouldn't it be nice if we could just tell history as it happened, but the intriguers have to mislead us. So who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. And as we see with Alison Weir's provocative illustration, the revisionist history is, I mean, you look at the video presentation and they show a graphic of Weider History Magazine, Civil War, British Civil War times, military history, general, aviation, Wild West, American, Vietnam, World War II. I mean, there are just several of these magazines. And, of course, it is a unified message. And what does that do? Think about it. And, you know, folks say that some statistics still indicate that America is largely Christian. I would dispute that. We need to define terms, as always, first and foremost. But let's presume for a moment that America is predominantly Christian. So you go into those places that, you know, Sunday go to meetings, and what is the message that people are hearing? Well, of course you got to support Israel. Of course you do. But which one? I totally agree, and it is astonishing to me how difficult it is for even the most astute, the most presumably aware and awake and intelligent to grasp the concept that the possibility exists of political intrigue and deception, and that this thing, this modern geopolitical contrivance referred to as Israel, is not synonymous with the biblical Israel. It is astonishing to me. I have friends that I have talked to for years about this. And it doesn't matter how big or small we get into the details, it just seems that they're incapable of grasping it. It's fascinating to me how deeply rooted this propaganda gets in there, which gets right to the matter of Bertrand Russell talking about the impact of science on society, you know, Lenin, Hitler, folks talking about, you know, give me a child from age of four and, you know, he'll have views that'll never change, essentially paraphrasing both, but they and other bad guys have said that. But you know, Bertrand Russell writing in The Impact of Science on Society about mass psychology. Remember, I think the subject he wrote, which will be of most importance politically, is mass psychology. Mass psychology is, scientifically speaking, he wrote, not a very advanced study at that point. And so far, its professors have not been in universities. They have been advertisers, politicians, and above all, dictators. So advertisers, politicians, dictators, who wrote about, oh yeah, Edward Bernays, propaganda, public relations. So Bertrand Russell went on to point out the importance of mass psychology has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Well, what are the modern methods of propaganda? He answered the question. Of these, the most influential is what is called education, quote unquote. Imagine that. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. The importance of mass psychology has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. This was 1952. Of these, he wrote, the most influential is what is called education, quote unquote. Religion plays a part, which is kind of where we're at right here, and we'll come back to that, though a diminishing one. The press, the cinema, and the radio play an increasing part. Why does religion play a diminishing role? Because that is supposed to, in the words of, you know, Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Mazzini, the religions of the world are to be collided together and destroyed and replaced with the reemergence of the Babylonian mystery religion, essentially, return to Genesis 6 and 11. But I digress. So religion plays a part, though a diminishing one. The press, the cinema, and the radio play an increasing part in the increased growth of modern methods of mass psychology. What is essential, he wrote, in mass psychology is the art of persuasion. And what era do we live in? The post-truth era. We're more concerned with a persuasive argument than the facts, or objectivity, or reality, for that matter. What is essential in mass psychology, Bertrand Russell wrote, is the art of persuasion. If you compare a speech of Hitler's with a speech of, say, Edmund Burke, you will see what strides have been made in the arts since the 18th century. What went wrong formally was that the people had read in books that man is a rational animal and framed their arguments on this hypothesis. We now know that limelight and a brass band do more to persuade than can be done by the most elegant train of syllogisms. And he wrote, it may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything if he can catch the patient young. Again, Lenin, Hitler, despots all agree. If he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment, the subject will make great strides when it is taken up by scientists under scientific dictatorship. Anaxagoras maintained that snow is black, but no one believed him. The social psychologists of the future, think about this, the social psychologists of the future, well, where are these practitioners? Well, according to Bertrand Russell, the social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children. Again, the most influential modern method of propaganda, so-called education. The social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. Think about that. Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is destructive. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Lenin said around 4, I think. I think Hitler said around 6. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. Beyonce, Britney, Jay-Z, etc., etc., etc. Fourth, that the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. The family is the unit that, you know, the indispensable unit of society. Oh, you're crazy. That's just, you have a morbid taste for eccentricity. But I anticipate, Russell wrote, it is for future scientists that, yeah, scientists use loosely here, to make these maxims precise and discover exactly how much it costs per head to make children believe that snow is black and how much less it would cost to make them believe it is dark gray. This, of course, is the technocratic model. Bean counters trying to manipulate people to think and behave a certain way. Although the science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. Bertrand Russell wrote, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. Again, I submit Israel as the prime example, this thing referred to as Israel, that is, as compared to the biblical Israel. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. And do we know that crime has actually been on a 40-year decrease of late, even though we keep hearing that we're more in danger than ever before? So back to religion. Religion plays a part. And what people hear in these places, the Sunday go-to-meeting places, is, you know, the what are largely recognized as Christian communities. They hear that this modern geopolitical contrivance known as Israel is synonymous with the biblical Israel. They are one and the same, essentially, and therefore we must support it. So think about how this historical revisionism in Orwellian fashion, who controls the present, controls the past, who controls the past, controls the future, is working. Alison Weir talked about how Dorothy Thompson, legendary journalist, is unpersoned in Orwellian fashion, scrubbed from history, We don't hear her firsthand testimony. We don't hear about Allison Weirs. We don't hear from folks like Eva Bartlett or Vanessa Beely in the mainstream press. That is not the loudest, most prominent voice. There is a unified sort of AIPAC narrative that advances this specious agenda, specious narrative that the world must support this thing called Israel that is not the biblical Israel. And as Dorothy Thompson put it, and she put it best, political Zionism is a recipe for perpetual war. What do we see? This is happening in America. So do you see how in precisely Orwellian fashion the future is controlled? We'll be right back.
Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Inside it, the venom of war's got a riot. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. I was speaking of a recap of yesterday's just kind of some of the conclusive points on yesterday's National Intel broadcast. The one of the quotes that I was thinking of. Anyway, hopefully, the point that I made, preceding point, made sense. It's interesting. One of the other salient observations from yesterday's National Intel Report broadcast, Senator Claiborne Pell was the guy who allegedly said, I think back in what, the signing of a treaty back in 1978, said something to the effect that, you know, since we can manipulate the weather and control the environment in so many number of ways, we don't need a treaty to do that anymore. He also said some other things. He was a senator for Rhode Island from 1961 to 1997, but he said, among other things, rainmaking as a weapon of war can only lead to the development of vastly more dangerous environmental techniques whose consequences may be unknown and may cause irreparable damage to our global environment. This is why the United States must move quickly to ban all environmental or geophysical modification techniques from the arsenals of war. One of my favorite, and this may seem like a kind of an odd non sequitur sort of segue, but one of my favorite examples of weather modification in and worse, really, quite frankly, in the mainstream, but not really in the mainstream, was the Space Preservation Act of 2001, which was sponsored by Dennis Kucinich. And you read the end of it, it's pretty shocking. Such terms include exotic weapons systems such as electronic, psychotronic, information weapons, chemtrails, high altitude, ultra low frequency weapon systems, sonic, ultrasonic, lasers, extraterrestrial weapons, tectonic weapons. Extraterrestrial mean outer space, but I mean, that's pretty interesting stuff. That'll do it for the first hour. Stick around, second hour coming up right after this short break. We'll be right back.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.